This is the Truth Network.
Welcome to the best of Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics and Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. In this podcast, you will get to hear some of the best calls and segments from Matt Slick Live. And here he is, Matt Slick.
What is ordination? What does it mean to for God to ordain something? Now, there's different ways which it can be understood, but a lot of people fail to really understand that there are degrees of the ordination. God ordains or decrees what wills, what he desires. And he is the one who brings about whatever shall come to pass. Ephesians 1:11 says, God works all things after the counsel of his will. So anybody who would deny the idea that God ordains all things would violate Ephesians 1:11, which says God works all things after the counsel of his will. And that's what ordination is, where God works all things after the counsel of his will. And some people will say to ordain means specifically to get in and to have your hand directly on it and to directly cause something to occur. Sometimes it does mean that, and other times it does not. So, for example, God said, let there be light. And by his direct action, the universe came into existence. But then again, did God ordain Jesus to be crucified? And the answer is yes. Well, wait a minute. We have to ask some questions. If God ordained that Christ be crucified, did he cause Christ to be crucified? Did God, the direct cause of his creative word, let there be light, God caused it by his direct action. Did God cause these people to sin by bringing Christ to the cross? And the answer is, well, of course not. God does not cause people to sin. But he does predestine them to sin. Now people say, well, wait a minute, man, that's crazy. How can God predestine them to sin but not cause them to sin by his direct action? Well, certainly God can bring certain events into place, and by the free will choices of those individuals in those circumstances, they are the ones who carry out what God has ordained will occur. God certainly ordained the crucifixion, but God did not cause the people to sin in their rebellion against God. Acts 4:28, this is what's interesting. For truly in the city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. So God predestined them, both Herod, Pontius Pilate, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel, to do whatever he wanted them to do. He predestined it to occur. But what's interesting is, when we look at this, and if you go, that was, and incidentally, it was Acts 4:28, 4:27, 28. When you go to Acts 2:23, this man delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to the cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. So the responsibility for their actions is upon themselves. It was the predetermined plan of God, and it was by the foreknowledge of God, and yet God predestined it. And yet, they're the ones who are responsible per Acts 2:23. Now, what some people do who are not teachable, what some people do whose minds are narrow and they don't understand the theological principles and they don't know how to balance Acts 2:23 and Acts 4:27, 28, what they'll often do is misrepresent the theology of the scriptures themselves. God certainly ordains whichever shall come to pass, because that's what to ordain means, to bring it to pass, to cause it to be. And he works all things after the counsel of his will, Ephesians 1:11. This means every single thing that ever occurs in the entire universe is ordained by God. But at the same time, we do not say that God is the one who directly causes people to sin. So when people say ordination means it's a direct cause, nope, that's not what the definition is. That's not what it necessitates in that context at all. When people refuse to learn that, well, that's their problem. That's their narrow-mindedness and their bigotry and things like that showing up. And it does happen quite a bit, particularly those who are against the sovereignty of God, against the majesty and the holiness of God, his omnisapience, omnipotence, and his all power to be manifested in his sovereign right. So many people, what they have done theologically is reduced God down quite a bit and elevated man's freedom, man's choices, in order to say that no, God doesn't ordain or predestine anybody to do anything wrong. It's all up to their free will. It's all up to them. It's all up to them. And God just knows what they're going to do, and he reacts to what he knows they're going to do, because it's all up to them and their freedom. That's amateur, ignorant theology, unfortunately, which is taught in a lot of churches today. No, it's not what the Bible teaches. I would suggest you go to Acts 4:27-28 and Ephesians 1:11. Ephesians 1:11 says God works all things after the counsel of his will. Acts 4:27-28 talks about God predestining people to crucify Christ, and yet Acts 2:23 says it was the unbelievers who were responsible for what happened to Christ. Hey folks, give me a call, 4 open lines, 877-207-2276. Be right back.
Hey everyone, this is Matt Slick from Matt Slick Live, and I wanted to let you know about MyPillow. I got one a few weeks ago, I gave it a try, and after the first night I said, that's it, I am not going to use a different pillow. And I'm not kidding. I use a CPAP machine, the thing is perfect. In fact, when I travel, that's the pillow I'll be taking with me. All you got to do is go to MyPillow.com, click at the top left under bed pillows, and then click on the 4-pack special. Type in the promo code TRUTH, and you can get 50% off. The 4-pack includes 2 MyPillow Premiums and 2 Go Anywhere Pillows. They're 100% cotton. They have 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Let me tell you, they really are good, and I absolutely love the one I use. You can also call 800-944-5396 and use a promo code TRUTH. Get a 10-year warranty on these babies. Love them. I love them. Please check them out. 1-800-944-5396 and use a promo code TRUTH. Truth.
Let's get to Charlie from North Carolina. Charlie, welcome to the show. You are on the air.
Hello, Brother Matt.
Hey.
What is there an account age of accountability in for children? Is that anywhere in the Bible?
No. You won't find it any place in the Scripture. People like the idea.
What about?
Go ahead.
This is totally different question. What about how do the dinosaurs fit into the picture?
Well, I don't believe the Earth is billions of years old, and I have no problem with dinosaurs being concomitant with people. There are evidences of the Biloxi Riverbank with human and dinosaur footprints fossilized together. There are cave drawings with Stegosaurus, with other dinosaurs that have been drawn in cave situations. And if you go back to the book of Job, I think it's the last 2 or 3 chapters, you'll find it'll talk about 2 different creatures. One is land-based and one is water-based, and they're huge. And some people say, oh, it's a hippo, it's a crocodile, it's an elephant, but it just doesn't fit the description of these things. These things are huge, and fire comes out of the mouth of one of them. So I have no problem with fire-breathing dinosaurs. We have a thing called a bombardier beetle, and it's a bug that mixes 2 chemicals out of its abdomen, and fire is produced.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. And the awesome. The legend of the fire-breathing dragon, it comes from someplace. So I think it's from the dinosaurs myself, something to do with that kind of a thing. Okay.
So you're saying possibly before the flood there may have been dinosaurs?
Yeah, I don't see why not. There's only, I think, 40 or so species, less than 60 max or something. I've heard it's not very many. And there's even theories about the whole thing, and we don't know really. But one of the theories associated with them is called the canopy theory. And the canopy theory is the idea that the Earth was surrounded by a canopy of water suspended in the atmosphere. And because of it, the sunlight would refract around the atmosphere, around the whole Earth, and so it would never be completely dark. It would get dusk-ish because of this.
Oh, right,
and
right.
So one of the things is, in Genesis 6, we don't have any rain mentioned in the Bible until Noah's Ark. And so Some people think, and they wonder, could it be that the water, because it says the water of the heavens and the fountains of the heavens were let loose and opened? So some think that that might be what that is. Anyway, the condition of that, the theory goes that it would have enabled the Earth to keep a pretty tepid overall temperature. It wouldn't be any seasons. And that's a whole really interesting theory about where the tilt of the Earth came and when it came in. That's a whole. I love a theory about that. I've read about this great stuff. But nevertheless, so the dinosaurs, the reptiles, could have grown a great deal at that point and become quite large because of plant-based. The plants would have had the photosynthesis effect because the light diffused all over the world could have produced large plants, hence large reptiles, etc. This is just a theory. But nevertheless, there are accounts of dinosaurs and things being seen, apparently, by people. Anecdotal, of course. No photos. That's a problem. And cave drawings and other things like that. So, you know, better take it for what you want.
Yeah, sounds good. Okay. One more real quick. If John the Baptist died, he was beheaded before Jesus, correct?
Yes.
That he wasn't a martyr, right? For the church or his faith.
Well, he was martyred for the faith overall, for preaching the truth and commanding repentance, and people killed. He was killed for that, and I think the same thing will happen when we Christians start calling our falling society to repentance. We will be persecuted severely, and we need to start doing that. And start calling our society to repentance the same as John the Baptist did. We need to call people to repent of homosexuality, repent of the polytheism, repent of the paganism and Catholicism and the cults, repent of the theft that goes on in the government in various forms, the murder of the unborn, the promotion of pornography, fornication. Yeah. We need to call our society to repentance. That's what needs to happen. And to do so is to be persecuted. In fact, Chick-fil-A, you heard, I don't know if you heard it or not, but...
I did. I heard about it.
Yeah, I won't be going to Chick-fil-A anymore because of this. But Chick-fil-A, for those who don't know, stopped supporting the Salvation Army and the Christian Athletic... What was it? Christian Athletics? Something, I forgot. And both of those groups, Christian Athletes... Anyway... Both of those groups had spoken out against homosexuality, calling it a sin. And so Chick-fil-A is now no longer supporting them. They're no longer giving money to them. And they said that their contract or their agreement of support had just run out, and that was all it was. Well, the LGBT, the homosexual community, is praising them, but they want, now what they want is for Chick-fil-A to renounce their past positions on homosexuality and stuff. So what they're doing is making demands of what Christians are supposed to be and do. And I'm telling everybody, this has got to stop. This has got to stop, because they won't stop. If they get Chick-fil-A and other groups to renounce, you know, to go against Scripture, they're never going to stop. They won't even stop at the churches. They will not stop at the church doors. They will not. In fact, a lot of people don't know this. There have been instances recorded where people have gone in to church services in the, let's just say, the gay community, and have thrown at the pulpit on cue, they have thrown certain things, and I'm not going to say it because there might be children listening, up at the pulpit and towards people, yelling, screaming, causing problems, disrupting services. They are going to come into the church. And this is part of the sinfulness and the judgment of God upon them, as Romans 1, 18 through 31 talks about, that God hardens their heart, and then they promote the ungodliness. And then to do that, they're going to have to stamp out the righteousness that stands against them. I'm telling people, I've been doing this for 40 years, I've been telling people and warning people about what's coming. And this kind of thing is simply the manifestation of unrighteousness in the world. That doesn't mean we have to hate homosexuals, doesn't mean we have to curse them out, nothing like that. But what's going to happen is they're going to persecute us. And it's already happening, and I'm collecting information on this. I'll be writing more on it later. But more and more, the Christian church is becoming under attack. And We need to defend ourselves. We need to be aggressive. We need to be forthright. We need to be prayerful. And we need to be ready. That's what we need to do. And we need it. And we need Christian leaders. We need Christian leaders.
For Christians to stand up and be bold.
That's right. Boldness.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
That's right. We need boldness. That's right.
Okay, God bless.
All right, God bless. And folks, we need Christian leaders to stand up and start calling Christians to stand on truth. And it's going to be costly. And it's not going to be easy. But so many Christians are so ingrained in the idea of comfort and that they're supposed to be healthy, wealthy, and all this kind of stuff, that the idea of risking anything for Jesus and maybe being jailed, maybe being persecuted is something they want nothing to do. They don't want to pick up their cross and follow after Christ. What they want is a wallet to fall into their path and help them out. That's the problem.
Robbie Dillmore here, and the Truth Network podcasts have helped make MyPillow the company it is today. And now Mike Lindell, who, by the way, I've met and is a great guy, the inventor and CEO of MyPillow, wants to give back to our listeners. For the first time, you can get deep discounts on all MyPillow products if you go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the new radio listener specials. Who never thought that my dream job would be selling MyPillows? Maybe you're getting tired of these sleeping jokes, but you can get deep discounts on MyPillows, mattress toppers, bed sheets, and so much more. For example, the body pillow is regularly $89.99, but with a promo code GETTRUTH, it's only $29.99. Remember, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the new radio listener specials and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the body pillow, for only $29.99. Enter promo code GETTRUTH or call 800-942-9613 for these great radio specials.
Let's get on the air. Griffin from Richmond, Virginia. Griffin, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Okay, my question was just, it came up in Sunday school, whether Catholics or Christians, and I haven't had time to really delve into it, I've heard your opinion, and I don't doubt that what you're saying is true, but I just wondered if you'd be kind enough to hit some high points supporting your opinion or truth?
Sure. What I say is that anyone who believes official Roman Catholic theology cannot be a Christian. It's not to say that there aren't Christians in the Catholic Church, but if they exist, they exist in spite of the Roman Catholic teaching. So, for example, I don't know how much you know of Scripture, but the Bible says, for example, in Galatians, in Romans 3:28, it says, we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. In Romans 4:5, it says, to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. That's what the Bible says. Right. I can go into many other verses like that. So, what we have in the Roman Catholic Church in paragraph 2036 of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, the specific precepts of the natural law, because their observance demanded by the Creator is necessary for salvation. So the precepts of the natural law is necessary for salvation. Well, what's the natural law? Paragraph 2080 tells us. The Decalogue, that's called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments, the Decalogue, contains a privileged expression of the natural law. Is made known to us by divine revelation and by human reasoning. So, according to paragraph 2036, the observance of the natural law is necessary for salvation. Those are the words of the Catholic Church. Necessary. And paragraph 2080 says the natural law is the Ten Commandments. That's an expression of it. So they're saying it's necessary to keep the law in order to be saved. Galatians 3, that's a false gospel. It flat out is a false gospel.
Right.
Galatians 3:10,
right,
Paul says,
saved by grace.
Right. Well, they're going to say you're saved
by grace.
Right. They'll say, no, we're saved by grace. But what they mean is this. You've got to understand what Roman Catholic theology is. When I tell the people, that their jaw drops open. They're like, what? And they're like Mormons in that they redefine terms and put it together in such a way that it sounds good, but you got to understand what they mean. So when they say they're saved by grace, what they're saying is that Jesus and the prophets and the saints and Mary, they did good things. And that good stuff that they did is like stored up in heaven. It's merit. M-E-R-I-T. It's merit that's stored up in heaven in a treasury of merit. And so, when you get to be a Christian, a Catholic, when you're baptized, all of your original sin is removed, and if you die right there, you go to heaven, because you are infused with grace. Infused with grace. Now, grace and merit are kind of interchangeable here in the theological aspect of what Roman Catholicism teaches, because the Catholic Church is going to say they have access to the treasury of merit. And you obtain this through the sacraments, which they control. And so they will teach you that through the sacraments, like penance and the Eucharist and things like this, that what will happen is grace is then infused into you. And the more grace you have, the more righteous you are. So if you sin, if you sin, you lose some of that grace. It's like a substance infused into you. That's how they define grace. So when they say they're saved by grace, what they're saying is, yes, we're saved by the infused property of grace that is given to us through the sacraments that the church and its authority given to the priest tells you what to do in order to get it to make you more righteous. That's what they mean by that.
That's what they mean by grace. Okay, well, that's totally different.
I can
understand that. And I, one thing I really just, and I don't know much about this, and I really do need to delve in and, you know, and do some studying when I get a chance. But why the need for a priest when Jesus, when the scripture says Jesus is the high priest? So, well, why the go between? Why can't they just go straight to Jesus?
The reason they don't go straight to Jesus is because they say Jesus established the church and salvation is found in the church, because the church has the authority to administer grace through the sacraments. So you have to go to the church, the priesthood, the bishops. You have to bow your knee to them, to what it says, because they replace Christ with the church. They replace Christ with the church. And so the church is the means of salvation instead of going to Christ. So one of the things I'll ask Catholics is I'll ask them, can you pray directly to Jesus and ask him to forgive you of all of your sins? And no Catholic I've ever asked will actually do that. They won't do it. They won't go straight to Christ, because I ask them, if you pray to Jesus and ask him to forgive you of all of your sins, are all of your sins forgiven? And I've had Catholics not even answer the question. Just refuse to answer. And then when some have said yes, I go, would you pray right now? In all seriousness, no mocking here. Would you pray right now and ask Jesus to forgive you of all of your sins? And only one person said he would. One person said he would. Wow. And I said, very respectfully, I'll pray with you. And he prayed and he said, Mary, I come to you, blah, blah, blah. He started off with Mary. He could not do it.
Wow.
And this to me is just evidence of the incredible brainwashing that goes on in the Roman Catholic Church. The more I have studied it, the more I'm absolutely convinced that it is in the service of the Antichrist. Seriously.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I will
listen
do
to
some
this.
Research into it. I don't doubt what you're saying. I'm just saying that, I understand
what you're saying.
Thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Okay. Well, before you go, though, I want to recommend something. Go to my website, karn.org, and you can look up the stuff on Catholicism, and I have it all documented from their writings. It's all documented.
Okay, great. Okay.
All right.
Okay, that'll save me a lot of searching on the Internet.
Yeah, and you can, but I say go to those documents and go look and go read for yourself to see if I quoted them properly. Okay?
Yeah. No, I understand. Yes, sir. Okay, thank you very much.
All right. Well, God bless. That's Griffin. And I'm going to read you guys something before we get to the next caller. And it's out of the book Fundamentals of Catholic Dogma by Ott, O-T-T. This has the Neolobstadt and the Imprimatur. Those are two seals of approval of Catholicism, stating that nothing in it contradicts Catholic theology, and that it's worthy of being disseminated and taught to all Catholics. And this is the quote in that book that's approved by the Roman Catholic Church. Christ alone truly offered the sacrifice of atonement on the cross. In the power of the grace of redemption merited by Christ, Mary, by her spiritual entering into the sacrifice of her divine Son for men, made atonement for the sins of man. And, Deacon Gruen, merited the application of the redemptive grace of Christ. That's heresy. The Roman Catholic Church has no problem with this. Folks, I could go on and on, but I don't want you to think that I hate Catholics. I don't. It's nothing like that. I was never a Catholic, wasn't mistreated by any of them. That's not it. It's just simply a theological thing. And the more I studied, the more I realized this is horrible. And it's not just me. There are many Christians throughout the years and the centuries who've written a lot of stuff against the Roman Catholic Church, citing document after document after document, citing the problems, the grotesque teachings within the Roman Catholic system. Folks, official Roman Catholic theology is not Christian. It curses the real and true gospel and puts roadblocks in the way of salvation. And it does. People need to come out of that church, that false church, and trust in Christ alone. That's what they need to do. And I'll never stop saying that. Arturo from California, hold on, I'm going to address something. I'm thinking about writing an article on this anyway. Kanye West going to Joel Osteen's church. I'm glad that Kanye West is seeking the Lord. However, the Bible says, do not lay hands on anyone quickly. And that's 1 Timothy 5:22. And what that's talking about is ordination and the issue of laying hands for commissioning and ordaining to do ministerial work. The Bible says, don't do this quickly. Don't do it hastily. Now, I'd love to be able to talk to Kanye West. I'd love to disciple him in doctrine. I'd love to be able to get on the phone. We just talk. Look, this is what the Bible says. This is what it says. I know he's supposed to have a good pastor, but here's my concern. He's already out at Joel Osteen's church, and Joel Osteen is not a very good preacher-teacher. I've been to his church. I've seen it. I've been there. I've heard him say heretical things. Just because he's got a big church and makes people feel good doesn't mean it's true. And I'm going to talk more about this later, but I'm starting just today on my Facebook page exposing the Word of Faith and the New Apostolic Reformation. And if you are interested in that, if you want to know, you can go to carm.org. Just type in carm.org/NAR. Those three initials, those three letters, NAR. Just go to carm.org/NAR, and you can find out some information. I'm beginning my research on all of this today. And it's going to take me months to get through a lot of it. But I'm going to be documenting stuff from various people, various teachers. And a lot of teachers are out there are saying is heretical. Folks, just because they're popular doesn't mean they're right. Like when I went to Joel Osteen's church, I went to their bookstore, and I was with a friend, and we were there, and basically the church service was like a rock concert with lasers and lights and all this great stuff. It was just, So anyway, I went to the bookstore and I asked if they had any systematic theologies. Now, the bookstore was bigger than most churches' buildings, seriously. And the guy, he looked at me and he said, a what? And I said, a systematic theology. You know, it arranges theology systematically. It's for doctrine and truth and teaching. He looked at me like, what, really? I said, yeah, have you got one? He goes, I don't know. Let me go ask my manager. So 20 minutes later, he comes back. No, we don't have anything like that here. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of books. And nothing on biblical doctrine that we could find. And see, this is a problem, folks. I'm telling you. Doctrine is the fence within which the truth resides and outside of which everybody has their way with it. Outside that fence, that perimeter set up by the doctrines of truth, inside of that is the truth and the definition of what it means to be Christian, who Christ is and what he's done. But when people don't know what those boundaries are, they start teaching things that Joel Osteen teaches and Joyce Meyer teaches and Kenneth Copeland teaches. Maybe I'll get some quotes together, and in a day, 2 week or two, I'll just do a bit of a thing where I just read quotes from these heretics. And folks, I know people are saying, man, you are hard. No, I'm not. I'm just telling you the truth. Jesus called people whitewashed sepulchers. He overturned the temple tables. He was loyal to God the Father and to the Scriptures. And so should we be. And our sermons should be verse by verse, word by word. What does God say? Not a sermon full of illustrations, and God has a wonderful plan for your life, delivered with smiles and soft tones that make people feel good because it tickles their ears and it causes their hearts to become weak. And so when things don't go well for them, Christianity isn't working right. Let me tell you, the only reason we can have churches and prosperity teaching in America is because of the culture and the economy. You go preach that stuff to the third world countries where they're starving, and it doesn't work. The truth of God's word is always true everywhere. But these kinds of truths aren't truths. They're half-truths mixed with lies, and they're dangerous. Anyway, hey folks, give me a call. We have four open lines, 877-207-2276. I kind of got off track there about Kanye. I think they're pushing him too much too fast, and he needs to settle down, learn some stuff first. That's my opinion. Be right back, folks, after these messages.